Hey, Lex Coach Mike here, LexCoachMike.com. Man, this is an awesome podcast, our third podcast with Coach Scott Maher up at Albany. I mean, if you love transition lacrosse, you love Albany, you know. He's in his 17th season, five-time America East Coach of the Year, seven America East Tournament titles, eight appearances in the NCAA, 148-108 record at Albany. Great coach, man. Just transition to the world. Not a lot of plays, but a lot more science and theory into what they do than just pure haphazard transition. I think you're going to love it. In the full podcast, actually, this may make you want to go back and review some of the other podcasts, or at least hit our search box and get a look at some of this stuff. We review the jailbreak drill, the dog drill, interesting scrimmage themes, Maryland box drill, his film work, and more. You know, they just commit to transition. He says it 100 times, commit to transition. And he walks us through a bunch of scrimmage themes, including a new drill, the quick start drill, which we feature in the article section. Anyway, without further ado, Coach Maher, this is Lax Coach Mike, LaxCoachMike.com. I am so humbled by your support of my site and so thankful for all that you've done for me.
Hey, Lax Coach Mike here. This is my radio voice, Coach. You like this? Hey, this is Lax Coach Mike here, LaxCoachMike.com. I have to apologize to everybody, you know what I mean? I can't believe it's been like 4 years since we had Scott Maher on from Albany. Coach, thanks so much for joining us back, man.
Thank you,
you're
Mike.
One of my heroes. You don't know that, but
so long, man.
You're one of my heroes in every way, shape, or form.
I appreciate that, but I appreciate you having me back on. I'm sorry it's been so long myself.
Hey, yeah, it's crazy, man. I mean, we've had a million page views now. I think if we tried to cancel this thing, I'd have guys in my front yard with pitchforks and flaming brooms. the whole thing is crazy. You know, the following, the cult following, it's a very narrow niche. You know, I mean, we don't do any Lax Pro stuff. We don't do any promotional stuff. We don't have any sponsors. I mean, it's just, you know, nothing but guys like you sharing practice plan ideas and everything else.
Nice.
Hey, Coach, I went back and listened to the other podcast, Getting Prepared. The last one I was really lousy on. You were awesome, man. But I plan on doing a much better job. And the reason I say that I'm a big fan of yours is, you know, the 4v4s and the jailbreaks and the transition stuff. And, you know, I mean, I just, you know, I guess I've been more influenced perhaps by you and maybe Berkman to a degree.
Yeah.
In terms of the way I run my practices, or when guys want to come see, you know, what our practice looks like, where we're, you know, we kind of have a, you know, our non-negotiable is 200 touches in the first hour, you know, for every kid.
Oh, wow. That's great.
And we count them, you know, once a week. We have a manager just take a person and click, you know. And if we're not there, we're pretty close.
Right, that's good.
But anyway,
Coach Berkman and I have been friends for, you know, probably close to 30 years. I'd spent every summer with him probably for about 15, 16 summers. I camped down at Salisbury and, you know, just picking his brain and learning from him. And, you know, those guys have been playing the game for, you know, fast since he started, you know, and then so have we. And, yeah, but he's a great one to follow, and their drills and stuff. He did a great talk this year at the convention, which was awesome. I got picked up a few things from that, offensively and defensively. So, you know, it's always good to learn, you know, and there's always new things to do, and there's always coaches out there that are trying to come up with some new stuff, you know.
Well, I mean, he just likes up pace, you know.
And
at my age, you know, I'm tired of trying to impress some people. I just, you know, let's play fast and let's practice fast.
It's hard to defend.
A point you made over and over again in the last one. But anyway, yeah, Berkman calls me highlighter. If I knew you better, I would tell you the reasons. I don't think it's even feasible to do more damage to my reputation that has been done in my lifetime. But the highlighter story is particularly interesting. I'll share it with you off the air, man.
There you go.
Now that we've been doing this 8 years, you know, and 150 hours of podcast and another, you know, 100 hours off the air and everything, we started to see it when I talked to you before. We're seeing coaches experiment, probably 40% of the coaches we talked to, Coach, experiment with the practice plan template. And the thing that has always struck me, and when people ask me about your practices, you know, I suggest that it's almost a hybrid. You know, in the two interviews we've done before, the practice plan has been relatively traditional whatever that means. I'm not trying to be good or bad. We often refer to it as more of a Masera model, you know, with the greatest amount of respect. Kind of a fundamentals, you know, the stretching, and then kind of a fundamentals section, whether that's stick work or breakout, into a transition, into a 6v6, into scrimmaging. And you were have always been, whenever I've talked to you, pretty steadfast in one or two periods at the very minimum of 10v10 scrimmages, maybe with a purpose, maybe letting the guys play, whatever it turns out to be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing that was always been interesting to me, though, is that inside of what I would refer to as maybe a traditional model, and I'm anxious to hear if that's changed, it came out of the gates, you know, with and you made it very clear to me in the last podcast, I was such a jackass, you know, they weren't half-field transition drills, they were full-field transition drills, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it was, you know, coming out immediately in the 15-second full-field skeleton clearing drill, as soon as a little bit of time went by, then bang, you know, we were right back into jailbreak and stuff like that.
Right, yeah.
So let me ask you a general question. Have you stayed with that basic template, Coach? I mean,
yeah, it's definitely similar. You know, it's definitely similar. I mean, thinking just, you know, where we are during the week and what we're looking at, you know, if we have a full week to practice, do we have a midweek game, that kind of stuff might change a little bit. But I'll give you today. Today's Wednesday, right? So we go Wednesday, we play Saturday, we played just this past Sunday. But Wednesday's normally our scrimmage-type day. We come out, we do a one-ball breakout, which is just our basic skeleton clear, and we go over all of our clears. Do that for about 10 minutes, get everybody into it. Everybody gets a touch on that. We do an OD split, and then so that means offensive guys go down.
Right.
And just work on some stick work. We did a drill that Merrick does, Coach Thompson does a zip-it drill, so it's five points on the outside, and it's just catching, you know, and throwing the ball as hard as we can and moving, you know, getting their feet moving, but then following your pass to the next line. You know, while Liam's doing defensive stuff with ground balls and rolling the outside and protecting your stick, all that kind of stuff. Face-off guys working in the middle. And then we went today. So today's our scrimmage day. So we went scrimmage one. We split the team up into different teams. We don't go with our starters, or we kind of mix the team up. Then we go 15 minutes scrimmage there, and we compete for that. Then we did a 12-minute half-field where we concentrated strictly on the offensive side. So our top six midfielders are playing offense against the defense, which is mixed in with our starting defense. And then our bottom six midfielders are playing on the short stick side. Then we went to a scrimmage two, which was a man-up, man-down scrimmage. So we had all our man-up guys on one side and our man-down guys on the other side. Then we fabricate some penalties and do man-up, man-down. So we go over man-up, man-down clears, our man-up, man-down rides, our man-up, man-down face-offs, stuff like that. Then we went to a six-on-six half-field again with focused on defense. So our midfielders then would play defense. Our starting midfielders play defense because we have two-way midfielders. And then our third scrimmage was our starting team versus our second team. And we put the starting team down by three or four goals, and they got to try and come back in a 15-minute period. And then we finish up with a two-ball breakout, which is just three guys breaking off the field on each side. So we use two balls, and then there's six attackmen at the other end. So there's one side. We basically split the field in half, and each three guys break up the field. They pass the ball one to the next up the field. We go to our attackmen. We work on our long stick, or our middies coming down, passing the ball, attackmen, then setting a pick or coming off of a pick. And then the attackman finishing the ball. But that's a great conditioner for those guys. And you do that for 10 minutes and, you know, two balls, like I said, one on each side, but then they split the team in half too. So it's a lot of reps for those guys getting up and down the field. So that was basically our practice today.
Coach, is that skeleton?
That last one's skeleton, yes, because it's two sides. Yep. So like I say, if you can picture all the balls and all the defense and all the middies at one end of the field, so you have two goalies in the goal, right, one on either side of the crease, and you have all the balls there. And they both, yeah, and then you have three guys that line up, basically from the 5-yard line up, you know, up the field to the 15-yard line. So you go 5, 10, 15. And then we all break, and it's just a quick outlet to one. He goes up the ladder to the next guy, and then the third guy ends up carrying it down. And then he does something with the attackman on the outside. So the attackman on each side are in a triangle. So he'll throw it down the side. He'll go then set a pick, and the attackman will carry it around him. Okay, we call that a husker. He comes around him there. Or he'll come down, and the attackman will set a pick for him. And then he'll throw the ball down to the guy at X, and then the guy who's inside now cuts to the ball and then gets a shot. And we do that on both sides of the field. So it's
Are both sides going the same direction, Coach?
Both sides going the same direction, yep. Yep, but they stay on their half of the field. Basically, if you took a line right down the middle of the field, right down the middle of each goal, right down the middle of each crease, you know, right down the face
off.
You got
a fancy name for that? Lacrosse coaches never have fancy
names. We call it two-ball breakout.
There you go. That's sexy.
Yep. But it's, like I said, it's about pushing that tempo, going up the field. Those guys are breaking out at full speed. Then again, we're working on our transition offense with the attack at the other end at the same time, and then the attackmen are finishing the ball every time. So it's about shooting. It's about getting the ball up the field fast, getting the ball to the attackman, then again setting a pick for him and letting him come off of you, or the attackman setting a pick for the ball carrier, and that ball carrier coming off the pick and then throwing the ball down to the goal line, and then he feeds it inside to the third attackman.
So logistically, Coach, you run everybody down one end and then come back, or do those guys run back to the beginning line?
They all come back. So all three guys who break out.
The ladder passing guys.
So all the three ladder passing guys have to run down. We call the restraining lines the blue lines, like hockey. So we have blue line, red line is the midfield line, and then blue line is the other restraining line. They have to run all the way down to the blue line. All three of them touch it, and then they sprint back to the back of the line behind the goal. So it's an unbelievable conditioner. And they said it's a full speed thing. They're sprinting down and sprinting back.
I'm thinking if I ran that in practice this afternoon, all my middies would be saying, like, I need to play attack today.
Yeah, exactly. Well, every minute, though, we blow the whistle, and the attack have to sprint to the midfield line and then back to their spots.
I love that. See, you didn't share that with me.
And then sometimes we blow the whistle twice, and they get back, and then they got to go back again, and they do it again. So we try to get them involved as well. Yeah. It's always funny at that end, we're always giving the attackmen a hard time, because they just sit down there and finish, and all the middies and defenders are doing all the work,
Well, and understand this, Coach. I'm fully cognizant of who I'm talking to here.
Yeah, right.
Okay? I mean, I get it.
A lazy attackman.
I get it. So where are the poles in this?
They're all in the drill. They're all running up the field.
Ladder guys?
Yep, everybody does. Yep, all the defense, all the poles, all the long poles, and then all our short sticks are all in those ladders. But again, it's a mentality. It's getting up the field. It's it's one more pass.
I love it, man.
Catching the ball over your shoulder on the run, running straight up the field. So it's a good, it's a good solid drill for stick work as well as conditioning.
I'll tell you what, every December I have a hard time, I don't do podcasts in December because out of respect for the coaches that have so willingly give their time to us. That's like the last month to spend time with your family before you're into it,
Yeah.
And I get that. So trying to keep interest in the site, in December we do a David Letterman top 10 list,
Mm-hmm.
And it's the top 10 drills based on hits and reads or page views from the previous year. And it's kind of interesting, and coaches love it. Maybe they missed it. Maybe they go back. Maybe something struck their fancy this time and whatever it is. And generally, the top eight have had, 2,500 to 4,000 page views,
Nice.
To this day, Jailbreak always makes the top 10 list.
Oh, nice, yeah.
I'm not kidding you, man.
That's not great.
I got no reason to patronize you.
Right, yeah. That's a great drill. It incorporates a lot of different things,
Well, we probably twice a week at the player's request, we run a 70-yard kind of a variable, jailbreak drill, to say five blue, four white, go,
mm-hmm.
and roll the ball down the field and to keep one team on offense, the defenders go touch cone, play from the hub out. But it's nothing more, than a fun way to condition.
Oh, yeah.
And we put the clock on eight. I'm coaching high school kids. And,
right.
And not a huge roster, probably 20 guys at practice at this school.
Oh, boy.
But, man, at the 8 minutes, the tongues are hanging out. And the players love it. I mean, it makes so much more sense to me.
Yeah,
than
well,
just
it's fun.
Sprinting for sprinting's sake.
It's not fun, making them think, where to go the next pass, anticipating the next play, and then defensively you're matching up. If you're man down, you got to, you're playing your zones, you're playing the ball, you're splitting two on the back side, whatever it's going to be. But you're making the guys think a lot in those drills, and that's what kids need more these days is more IQ, is more thinking. Why am I here? Why am I doing this drill? What am I doing with the ball here? When I pick it up, am I moving it? Where am I moving it to? Do I have somebody behind the goal as my outlet when I pick it up? Do I have somebody in front of me as an outlet? Those types of things, making kids have to use their brains while they're playing you know, to make.
Well, the one caveat we do add to that is, regardless of where the ball is picked up or where I may decide to throw it, you know, on my whims, it's got to be ground ball pass. It's almost like in the old days we used to call it the hippo drill. You remember that, where you weren't allowed to take more than three steps?
Yes, yes.
And you would play for, I don't know, other coaches called it different stuff, but in I was back when I was young. So we have a rule: when you pick up the ground ball, you got to make two passes. You know.
And you should. And when you do that, that second pass guy should be able to get it and be going to the goal or be taking a shot within, you know, a step or two. You know.
So, any new twist, coach, or stuff that you've integrated into practice that maybe you 5 years ago didn't think you would? I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. I mean, your boy Petro is practicing halftime. You know, and it, you know, well, after he explained it, it made so much sense. I mean, they may be doing a 4v3 drill, or maybe a full field transition, or, you know, maybe the, you know, two white, one purple in your case, or whatever, or two yellow, two, one purple, you know, on each side, that roll out full field back and forth, 5v4 to 5v, or 5v5, whatever.
Sure.
Or a variation of that. And they'll run that drill for maybe 5 minutes, you know, and get the blood going. And then he'll actually send the guys off the field. They got to take off their helmet, maybe take a leak. They get like 6 minutes. Coaches don't go in. And then they come back out, and they go immediately into a 10v10 with a reward, or a penalty.
If my locker room was closer, I would do that. But this is right.
Well,
there.
I mean, back when you were there, it was a lot different. You know?
Good idea.
Now I'm pretty sure there's a limo that picks you up at the midfield line and takes you to the new facility at the end, where an escalator runs you up to the massage therapist past all the trophies before you you get to the locker room.
I hear you.
I say that, obviously, with love in mind.
No question. We're doing a couple of different. I think we do this drill, we call it quick start. It's now, because the rules have changed and the whistles are quicker, where we start everybody down at the opposite restraining line or opposite blue line. Where we start the offensive guys, there'll be four offensive guys, and then we have the three defensive guys are at the bottom of the circle in front of them, probably about 10 yards there. We roll the ball to one of the offensive guys. The defensive guys get in the hole. Offensive guys get down. It's a 4-on-3 to start. And then we have our poles, our long poles, are in the box on the sideline. And they play a 4-on-3. They play it out. Ball goes out of bounds. Shot, score, out of bounds, doesn't matter. One of the attackmen or one of the four guys has to go back to the end line, pick up a ground ball, and at the same time, our fourth defenseman now is running in to marry up to call they're all even, right? So you're working on, you know, making sure that...
Oh, I love that.
Right, so they get in, and, you know, what Coach Gleason talks about all the time is that our guy coming in, that we don't go back behind the goal and play the ball yet until we've gotten that guy in and we're playing the guys in front of the goal. So we slow play getting back to the end line, but it works on, again, the ball going out of bounds, running to the end line, picking up a ball right away, coming in, stopping for a second so they'll blow the whistle, and then you're playing again right away, and then you play 4-on-4. And then we do that, and then they go out, and then a new group comes down. So it's a quick drill, quick start, but it's about the quick start, you know, off the end line. But, again, working on 4-on-3 defense, getting in the hole, you know, stopping the ball, you know, offensively staying spread, moving the ball, keeping your feet moving, you know, getting a good, hopefully a layup if you can. Right, and then the ball going out, and then it goes to 4-on-4, and now you're playing, again, you're working on your chasing slides, and then offensively you can work two main games behind the goal. You got two guys out in front of the goal that can pick for each other or spread out, you know. So, again, just a quick play, just good hard, you know, good competition for about maybe a minute or so, a minute and a half, and then a new group comes in and you do that. You know, and again, we do that probably for 10 minutes, you know, and you get good reps, and we switch our midfielders halfway through so they play both offense and defense. You know.
The original setup, the 4v3.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that again, coach.
Yeah, so on the opposite, when you're playing the goal, so if you're looking at the field, say to your left is the goalie, and then like I said, we go blue line, red line, blue line. So the furthest restraining line away, okay, you have your four offensive players, and then just where the girl circle would be, right at the bottom of that circle, on the same side of the field, and we're gonna say about 10 yards difference between the defense and the offense. That's where the defense starts. And then we blow the whistle, we throw a ball to one of the midfielders, and they all go in at the same time. So the defenders have about a 10-yard head start to get back and get into the hole, right, and get into their triangle and get their 4-on-3 defense ready.
The four guys include attack guys that now have to run 70 yards to play?
Yep, Mm-hmm. All attackmen and midfielders and what we call, you know, our four men, all of our
shots. I just wanted to make sure, knowing you, I was relatively sure that they were going 70 yards before they were allowed to do anything.
Yep, they're running again. Good conditioner. You get plenty of rest.
Coach, you're very creative today, man. That's amazing. I love that drill.
Right. Yeah, it's a good one. That's a good one. We like it. And again, it does play a lot into your hands, you know, plays into the games a lot, you know, again, running the shot out, getting the ball quickly, being ready to go, right off the end line, right off the whistle. You know, trying to catch guys in front sleeping or what you can do there. But it's
well, cool. And I love the aspect of keeping the poles in front until they absolutely realize that they're even.
Yes. Yeah, that's
especially
key.
If the guy was chasing a guy back there and it's a high school kid and he loses sight of the scenario momentarily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's not a bad thing. He's a high school kid.
Yeah. And we slow, you know, we call that slow playing.
He slow plays
going back to that guy, right? That's a good one. And then we're doing, you know, we have that dog drill we talked about. We still do that, you know, committing to that and to our transition. And everything we do, we talk about committing to our transition. But the best one I think that we get out of two different drills that we do, one would be what we call either, you know, half-field scramble or full-field scramble. But when you do the full-field scramble, you can create your 5-on-4s, your 6-on-5s, your 4-on-3s. So basically in a full-field scramble, I'll take – six middies, right, and then the attack and defense will be at each end, and you take, you know, three middies so from each side, bring them out to the middle of the field. I'll have three or four balls in my hand, and I'll roll one out, you know, create a ground ball. Whoever comes up with it, you're going. So they go, play it out that end, ball goes out, I'll blow a whistle, and now I can place where I want the ball, so I can pick a guy out, I can throw it to him, I can, you know, again, I can see somebody coming at me. And then typically we're trying to get it so they're going the other way. So we're creating a fast break going the other way, whether it be a 5-on-4, 6-on-5, or even just a 5-on-5, whatever. But, again, we're attacking and going to the goal that whole time. So you do that. You have them go up and down the field. You play three balls, four balls, maybe tops. By that time they've gone up and down the field two or three times, you know, and then you come in to get a new group on right after that, and then you do it all over again. And, again, your poles are involved in that, so your poles are playing offense and defense. So they're involved in transition, and they're staying on and playing offense in a settled situation. You know, and again, whistle, you know, ball goes out of bounds, goes in the goal, I got another ball in my hand, I blow the whistle, right, I roll another ball out somewhere, and they got to pick it up, they got to clear it. So, again, you're getting up and down the field, it's great conditioning, guys have to play when they're tired, you know, those types of things. So we call that just a regular full field scramble.
Is it a 10v10, Coach?
Yes. Yep.
So there's three white middies and three dark middies in the middle of the field?
Yep, that's how you start it. And then
that's how they start and they come back.
Right, so basically once it starts rolling, I'll blow the whistle to end it, you know, and the guys will be running off the field and the next group will be running on, and I'll just roll a ball somewhere and the guys who are running on now just are coming on at full speed and they got to go get a ground ball. So they're coming out from one sideline. I might just throw it to, you know, towards the other sideline. They got to come out and come get it. And again, you'll see a speed, and one guy will get out in front of somebody. It could be a 4-on-3, it could be a 4-on-4, 5-on-4, 6-on-4, you know, 6-on-5, whatever. Again, you can create a lot of, and it's not just doing a 5-on-4 drill with two lines on each side, and you're going over. You know, I mean, this is you're fabricating this 5-on-4.
It's much more game
more realistic. Right. It's much
yeah,
more realistic.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Right. And again, it's a great conditioner, you know, because then again, you get offensive guys, the attackmen have to ride to the midline, and you know, so it's a great conditioner really for everybody. And again, it's all about pace, and you're playing fast, and you're playing fast, you're going. And there's no slowdown to it, you know. So if the offense gets the ball and they hold on for too long, I can blow the whistle and give the ball to a defender going the other way, and make them go
the
other way.
Yeah, did you make a comment in there somewhere about the poles playing offense on that too, Coach?
Yes, they do. Yep. So our poles will be sort of, you know, sometimes we'll have two short sticks and one long stick on each line, and they'll both stay in and play offense and be a part of that. Because again, we encourage our poles to be involved in offense when they get up the field. We encourage all of our guys. We always say as soon as we get the ball anywhere on the field, our goalie, defender, as soon as they get it, we're on offense. Everybody's involved. We're going. And we're going forward.
We had two games in a row where we had four goals scored by poles.
Oh, wow.
And two of them were guys that stayed in the crease and popped out a little bit. And it took 25 seconds for them to realize, or finally the guy covering them just thought they were window dressing and let them alone,
mm-hmm.
you know? I mean, it wasn't immediate, like a bang back to the crease or the first guy down, you know, cutting through the crease or anything like that.
And a lot of teams will lose that guy. You know, they don't pay attention
well,
to him.
Well, especially if they don't lose him initially, they'll lose him after a little period of time,
right.
whatever
you
that
know,
is.
Yeah, and they think he's a pole and he's not really going to be doing it, but, you know.
And I was coaching against a buddy of mine. You know, he called me the next morning. He goes, okay, you know, how do you do it? I said, well, you know, we put our poles in our shooting drills. We have our poles run offense in 4v3. I mean, you know, you got to practice it. And occasionally, even in our what you call your O&D breakout, you know, we'll encourage a shooting drill, you know, for the poles. And I put little Walmart bags in the lower corners of the cage. And when the poles shoot, they got to hit the Walmart bags. I don't have any poles that can go high to high and beat my grandmother. You know, you probably do.
Should be able
but,
to.
But, you know, they got to shoot high to low, and they got to shoot into a low corner. And the Walmart bag gives them kind of an audio positive reinforcement. When they rip that bag, the team goes nuts.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and I, you know, anyway, I wrote that up for Lax Power about 2 weeks ago, the column I write there. And, man, I bet you I got 25 emails, you know, including, like, 4 hate emails. I don't think you understand.
Yeah.
Poles should stay on their end of the field.
Yeah, that's not
you
true.
Know, my first comment to the guy in my return email was, you must be an attackman. And then I have to, you know, delete that before I send the email. But.
No, you gotta have involved, and there's a lot of them out there with skill now, especially kids, you know, growing up. It's, you know, it's being pushed more and more. So, you know.
Well, I think I put in the article. It's no longer the fat guy playing defense. You know, I mean,
well, yeah,
it just isn't. Even though I was the fat guy playing defense, but I love this drill. The I got a cool version from Purdy at Adelphi.
Mm-hmm.
Basically the same drill, but they play to. Whatever. They play to 15 balls, or they play to 11 balls. An odd number, so one team has to win and the other has to lose for a competition element. So I had my daughter that's got like a Etsy business. She got 2 advanced teaching degrees and is so pissed off the school district. But she made me like a baby satchel, you know, that I could hold balls in. I should market that. All coaches need a way to hold balls that's not your pockets. You know?
Right, right. Yeah, we were talking about that. We were talking about a newspaper bag, you know, the old newspaper carrier bag.
Oh, that's a good idea, too.
Yeah.
Well, you know how these, we're way
off
the subject here, but I mean, these moms, you know, have like a sling almost,
you
know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
And, and my daughter's a proud papa here. My daughter's amazingly talented, you know. I can't believe she's 36 because, like, how old does that make me? Holy shit.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, you can just go out there with 11 balls, you know. And when the 11 balls are gone, somebody's running or picking up balls or whatever your reward or your competition element may be, you know, goes down. And we use that to end practice a lot, too, because it gives you a competitive element. And then once or twice in that drill, because I did not play attack at Hopkins, we make our attack play midfield because it is a running drill because the coach is a jerk and rolls the ball wherever there's no people. Very, very cool. Man, for a guy that traditionally has run mostly the same drills because they were effective, I mean, changing the Maryland box drill to the dog and all that stuff, you got some new twists for me this time, man. You're awesome.
We're trying. I got new coaches, too, which is always nice. You know, Merrick Thompson here joining me from the Hill Academy. He was at the Hill Academy for 4 or 5 years before he came here, so he's been great bringing in some new stuff. And
that was a pretty good coaching staff.
The Quick Start one I think we stole from Loyola. I mean, you know, we take things from other teams, too, that we don't do. And, you know, again, it's nice to change things up because you're not always doing the same thing. But again,
that was
like
a pretty good coaching staff they had up there at the Hill Academy, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, that guy Merrill, sure. Quiz was there for a while. Not a bad team.
I mean, you know, we do another one that's good for your in tight stuff that we call it scrapping. We came up with this probably about 4 or 5 years ago. My little buddy Eric Wolf up at Harvard. We basically take, like, if you took, like, the arc that you would use for a 2-point arc for the outdoor league, you know, for MLL,
mm-hmm.
So maybe like 15 yards up, we take some cones and we make an arc like that, you know, just above the, you know, inside the box. And then basically the defensive guys, all the poles are on one side of the field. So they basically line up from the top center, basically, and they line up down one side, and then the offensive guys line up down the other side. And it's a 3-on-2, so three offensive players against two. So they go in, they have to touch the top of the crease to start. And we have three balls. We roll three balls out. So they play three ground balls, and they play it out. And then we play it for points. So if the defense picks up a ground ball and throws it out of the circle, they clear it, and that's a point for them. If the goalie makes a great save, we give them a point. And then the offensive guys, when they score, they get a point. But it's a ground ball, and it's in tight, and they can't go out. And so the players are lining up around that 15-yard arc. So the guys in that are playing on the 3-on-2, they can't go outside that area. So it's tight. So defenders are smacking them and hacking them, and they got to make quick passes, and they got to move off the ball, and they got to move their feet. And that's a really, really good drill for all your in-tight stuff, your ground balls, your tough ground balls in front of the crease. You know, then again, you get some nifty passing. You get, you know, you let them be a little bit creative as far as like flipping some stuff and using one hand to throw the ball and all that kind of stuff and shoot behind their back and whatnot. And then again, great for your goalies too. And then for the defenders, again, they're playing a 3-on-2, so they're constantly playing, you know, one playing the ball, two, you know, one guy splitting. So it's great for their footwork and their communication. So, that's a nice drill. And that's also a little bit of an element of toughness to you too, because you aren't getting whacked. You know, it's a tight ground ball, and the guys are swinging their sticks pretty good, and, you know, you don't want them to foul or hurt anybody, but it's, you know, it's definitely, you got to get down with two hands and pick up the ball.
That's an interesting concept, man. You know, I'm a fan of J.B. Clark, and, you know, I don't know, I never really heard a name for that kind of stuff, you know, so on the site, we just coined it Crunch Drills. You know, whatever the smaller defined area was. Again, I think Petram, I just did a podcast with Petram a couple months ago. I think he was doing it, actually throwing a takeaway element in, you know, whether it was even or 5v4, either in the big circle by the midfield line or, you know, boxing off an area. And they weren't really going to the cage. They were just playing keep away.
Oh, okay.
Maybe with one extra defender, even, you know.
Right, tight spaces. Yeah, working in tight spaces. Like, you know, why do you think all these box kids, these Canadians and the native kids, have got such great skills? You know, playing in those tight areas.
I think we've got probably 8 or 9 different variations now. You know, on the site.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys run them on the hash marks. You know, I love the drill. I still run a drill that I got from Bates. I want to say back at Drexel. Where he would put a line of cones vertically right in front of the middle of the cage and then a line of cones like 10 yards out, maybe 15 yards high. And those were really, really tight spaces, but three guys would enter one side with two defenders, and that would be predominantly right-hand touches, and then the other side would be predominantly left-hand touches.
Mm-hmm.
And he would toggle the drill back and forth. So, you know, the whole thing lasted like literally 3 to 5 seconds, right? And then as soon as they got a shot, bang, you toggle to the other side, those guys would carry in, almost not even enough time to throw a pass or start with a GB, but, you know, and you would toggle it back and forth, and the fur just flies, okay? But there's one cool additional element to that drill. The two defenders that are on the side that is not in play, they're allowed to go to the line of the cones that is in the middle. I hope I can explain this.
Yeah.
This is a switch, me explaining a drill on MyCoach.com. I'm always asking questions about the drill. You know,
they
but anyway,
they could be in the middle and checking those guys as they're coming.
Yeah,
we call them.
I tell them they get to be police.
Right.
So if those, because again, you know, you're trying to encourage your offense to get to the middle, even though they're in traffic, you know, and so they can swing a check or wrap, you know, if the guys are in the center. So in essence, you know, they can't go into that little defined zone. But in essence, there's four guys there kind of watching, two guys watching that line, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty neat.
And that drill is, you know, with our rosters, I mean, you know, you got a college roster, but I mean, with our rosters, you know, that one, like after 7 minutes, well, after 3.5 minutes, we don't even have the guys rotate. You know, they'll start in the left box, half the offenses or half the shorties, and then 3.5 minutes in, they'll go to the other box, and those shorties will come over. Because by the time guys run, you know, from box to box, it's just too many people running, guys going behind the cage, getting in the way, everything else. So they, you know, while they're exiting, the drill is on the other side. And like I said, it's a toggle. So it goes bang, 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 you know, each side.
Right, yeah, cool.
Goalies hate it.
We sometimes do it with tennis balls too. That scrapping one, you know. If it's
who was I talking to about this the other day? Oh, Colfer at Cabrini. Yeah, I mean, you know, Myers got me on the tennis balls. You know, Penn State, or excuse me, Ohio State, not Freudian slip, eh? I mean, Ohio State now is doing a lot of stuff with tennis balls.
Yeah.
And
soft hands,
so,
makes you, you know, you got to feel that ball. It's different than a higher ball, you know? Look up.
Well, and
ball.
I think, yeah, they tell me the trick is not to use new tennis balls. You know, tennis balls that are worn.
Right,
you know?
Yeah, sure. We do. We use a lot to shoot on our goalies. We shoot all of our, we do a lot of our warm-ups with our low-angle shots and our in-tight shots. We use the tennis balls. And we fire them at them, you know what I mean? And so it's a, you know, it's a
yeah,
good,
I'm getting pushback from
warm-up.
My guys. I've been doing it like 2 years, and I get pushback from my guys. And it frustrates me, you know, because they don't understand that it's a skill development exercise.
Yeah,
it's just not how many times you can rip the cord. You know, we're going to make you catch softer.
Yeah, exactly.
Release faster, release more accurately.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Yeah, yeah. We just sometimes we go to our indoor facility. We use them just because of the lighting and stuff like that too for our goalies, saving our goalies. But you know, again, it does. You create those softer hands. You really got to have. We call it silent six. You know, where you're just catching it. And you're,
yeah.
You know, you're giving with the ball and the pass and everything. You know.
Hey. Coach, I know we're only – I try and keep these podcasts timeless, you know, because guys go into the library and we'll listen to your first one, then I'll listen to you the second time, listen the third time. And we really virtually never, you know, talk about wins and losses or season or anything like that. At the time of this podcast, we're in 2017, and the season is what, 4 games old for you?
We are 4 games in, yep.
Yeah. So the stats are 3 or 4 game stats, you know. But – at the end of this period, or when I was preparing for this call, because I sucked the last time, I'm trying to do so much better. You know, I think I'm a little bit better this time.
I hear you.
I'm looking at your man down at 143. That's pretty amazing. Is there something you're doing in practice, or is it just the? Are you ready? Are you sitting down, Coach?
Yeah.
Is it the plethora? I can't remember the words. I'm looking at these podcasts. The last 2 podcasts I did with you, you were dropping these multi-syllable words on me, man. I was trying not to sound stupid, but I had to go back and look them up,
you know, just
so I could write the articles. Is it the, you know, the abundance of man short transition drills that are making that work? Is there? I know you've got a great defensive coach and alum and everything else, Liam. But
yeah,
that's pretty amazing considering the teams
you've
played.
I think you're hitting it on the head there. That we do so many things where we are playing a man down in our transition stuff, and you know the emphasis on getting sticks out and getting in lanes and stuff like that. And we got a couple of kids who are pretty crafty at that. We have, you know, 3 of our guys who come in for that man down are guys who don't normally play in our, you know, they're not our starting defensemen, you know, but they're kids who have that knack of knocking passes down and being in lanes. So, you know, it's so far so good. It's been a good mix. I think we've only given up 1 goal to Syracuse in the first game, and I think that's the only one we've given up all year so far. But I agree. I think the fact that we do so many odd man things, you know, it does really work on those guys to get their sticks up and get in lanes, and it's something that that Liam's always, you know, constantly talking to them about too. So, you know, it's getting those sticks in those lanes and getting the sticks up. So. Yeah.
And I shouldn't have this conversation with an attackman, but, I mean, it's kind of weird, isn't it? I mean, there's poles that have a knack for that, and there's poles that don't.
Yeah. Well, like I said,
the
3 guys that we bring in, that's their game. You know, they do it consistently in practice, and that's why they've been picked to play that man down spot.
I mean, I had a kid, his feet were terrible, but, man, the kid had a knack, you know. And actually, he played on a better select team that he probably shouldn't have made. Good kid, great technique, great, very coachable, wonderful personality, team guy. He just didn't have great feet, you know. And when you were playing Burnham's guys, you know, you needed quick feet. But I put him on that team just because of man down. And I bet you almost once a game, you know, he would snag something.
Yeah.
God help him if he tried to carry it after that. You know? But it was one of those coach holds your breath moments.
Guys.
He had
those
at Albany. I know high school coaches, we have them all the time.
Yeah,
you know?
You got them. You know, every once in a while, I'm sure something happens during the course of the game. And you know, again, those guys aren't playing close defense or regular starters because there's some deficiencies there as well. But like I said, they're good at those things. You know, good at those passes. And they also understand the sliding thing, the anticipation of getting to the next pass, getting to the next shooter. you know, those are instincts that they have that maybe some of the other guys that you know play regular defense don't have, you know, as much. But you know, the starters are probably better on, you know, one-on-one on the ball or you know, stuff like that, where these guys are a little bit better with that anticipation.
Well, and in my ongoing effort to totally impress you this time, because I was so bad, looking at the stats, you got a 925 clearing percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Is that based on the 15-second clearing drills and the half-fill clearing drills that you're doing? Is that the magic there?
We try not to get caught too much in the settle clear, you know. We try to get the ball up and out quickly. But we also go over, like I said, that one ball breakout. I think, you know, in a 5-day work week, we probably do that the first drill we do every day, probably 4 out of the 5 days. So it's an emphasis. We emphasize clearing the ball, every time. So, you know, 925 is good. We'd certainly like to be even higher than that. But it is something that we emphasize and we do work on a lot, you know. And one, you know, another drill that we do, which works on those types of things, is we do a riding and clearing scrimmage, you know, where the ball goes in the goal. We don't stop the face off. We clear the ball. So then you got to ride right away and you got to clear the ball right away. So you do that for 15 minutes and you see, you get some serious conditioning in if you're putting the ball in the goal enough times. You know, but even if the ball goes out of bounds, you can blow the whistle and give it to the defense. So you got to get up and out and clear. So that gives us a chance in that 15 minutes right there to work on our riding and our clearing, you know, for a good amount of time. You know, in a scrimmage like situation. So again, it's not fabricated. It's not just doing riding and clearing drills. You know, so you're actually playing still.
Coach, let me ask you a question from a Division I lacrosse fan's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I'm on this stupid elliptical for 45 minutes to an hour every day, so I'm watching all these. Thank God for the ESPN replays.
Yeah, you know? ESPN 3, right, yeah.
Because I got Apple TV there. I just put it on my phone and click it, you know, and I get lost.
Right, that's great.
Am I seeing a resurgence in riding a little bit?
Yeah, I think.
At the NCAA D1 level? I mean,
I do. I think
like
that.
You had a handful of coaches that I would talk to that, you know, out of the 150 or whatever, but they, you know, there were certain coaches that still wouldn't let go of a riding mentality, even though I never told them this to their face, but I mean, their stats were still, you know, 86, 89 type percentages. I mean, I didn't see, you know, dramatic increases in their riding percentage. But there were coaches that certainly emphasized it more than others. And with the expansion of the box and the quick restarts and and all that, you know, it seemed like the idea was to keep them out of transition, not necessarily regain possession. You know, but the games I've been watching this year, I've seen guys in the middle of the field especially a lot more aggressive coming up instead of just dropping back.
Yeah, I think you're seeing a lot of teams, too, like we bump up and you're seeing guys push a defenseman up the field and, you know, we're playing Maryland this weekend. Maryland takes a midfielder and brings him up onto the attack side of the field. So they have almost four attackmen riding at one time, you know, and then they bump their defenseman up to the middle of the field. So, you know, you definitely are seeing teams that are trying to force the tempo a little bit. And, again, there's nothing more demoralizing than having a team turn the ball over and then you score on them, you know, and that's a tough part of a game, you know. If
I got to edit this out and put it there with my players because I tell them that all the time.
That's nothing. I mean that's the worst feeling. There's no question. You can't clear the ball and you get scored on after failing to clear. Those are backbreakers, you know. And we try to ride as aggressively as possible, you know. And we if you're an attackman on our team, if you're not riding to that midline, you know, you're getting somebody's in your ear, you know. But it's definitely a part of the game. Like I said, that can be. That still can be a huge part of your game plan, you know, and we do it. We do look at how teams clear the ball every week and how we can, you know, get a good solid ride on a team.
And again, it's a limited sample size. But the last stats question I want to ask you is 135 ground balls to 106, and you played a pretty good schedule, man. The 35% higher. I get an MBA. 35% higher than the competition. One of the things that I think I've heard from coaches, kind of if I could define it as a recent phenomenon, man, maybe over the last 14 months, is I've had maybe five coaches on these podcasts tell me were just had gotten away from ground balls, were back into ground ball drills.
Definitely.
And I hadn't heard that. I'm not, you know, I'm making very macro, broad statements here.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember talking about practice plans. You know, I mean, everybody was big on the, you know, scoop pass-pass or ground ball pass-pass or, you know, initiating drills, even a 4v3 with a 1v1 ground ball and the winner stays and the loser's out and all those kind of little techniques. But I'm hearing coaches going back to competitive ground balls, not so much in the, you know, the old school or, you know, I cringe when I watch these coaches running 2v1 ground balls, you know, where the next thing you know, the ball's in the parking lot and 16 guys are standing there throwing dirt on each other and then they guy ends in, you know, he gets it in the stick and Johnny wails on him and then he gets it out of Johnny's stick and you like die a thousand deaths and you're 50 yards away. And they're injury, you know, laden, those drills. But we're seeing a lot more 2v2 ground balls, more 1v1, and a lot more scrambles in tight spaces.
Right. If you think about some of the drills we've talked about today, just the scrapping drill.
Well, that's the reason I brought it up.
Yeah, scrapping is a ground ball drill, right? We do 3-on-2 ground ball drills, but then our half field scramble is a ground ball drill. Everything starts with a ground ball. Our full field scramble, everything's a ground ball. You know, the jailbreak is a ground ball. So, you know, everything that a lot of the drills that we're trying to do and incorporate, you know, have to do with getting the ball off the carpet first. You know, and then I think the more you're doing that, you know, again, and you're emphasizing it, you know, and you're emphasizing your kids going through with two hands and getting it the first time and stuff like that, you know, you're going to get there and you're going to get better at it.
Has that been a constant with you through this whole transition mentality in your entire coaching career, Coach?
No question. Yeah, I mean, okay. You have to. If you don't have it, what are you going to do? If you don't have the ball, you're not getting these transition opportunities if you're not picking it up defensively, you know, and getting the ball up and out. And again, just like you're saying, though, it still is about when you we call it an OTG off the ground. As soon as you're picking it up, you got to be ready to move that thing, you know, and getting it going north south.
I love J.B. Clark's term. He calls them fumble drills. Like a fumble in football?
Yeah, sure.
You know, and I think, you know, if I could, you know, talk about the things I've learned from you or things you've reinforced for what I was trying to do as a coach, obviously without, you know, the same coaching experience or the level of coaching acumen. That the D1 guys have, or the D3 guys. I mean, there's so many great coaches, right?
Oh, yeah, no question.
I mean,
it's getting better. It's only getting better.
J.B. Clark's a great coach. I mean, yeah.
They just got a lot of young kids now that are in it that are good, and, you know, it's just, you know, it's great to see how many people are, you know, kids can get out of college now and make a living off of it. You know, when I got out of college, I was a volunteer for 3 years, you know, and then I made my last year at Maryland, I made, you know, $19,000 maybe. You know, our guys are getting in it now, and they're starting off at 50, 60. You know, it's a big difference. So more kids are getting involved in it. You know, and they're learning from good people above them. So that's another good thing.
Well, and I'll tell you what, for me, you know, talking to so many coaches, every once in a while, you know, you get a young guy that kind of lights you up. You're going, man, this is a creative guy. Brandon Childs at York is that way. I would put Colfer in that category at Cabrini. I mean, my goodness, you know, York beat Salisbury last year. Are you kidding me? I mean, who would have thought that 10 years ago?
Right,
But anyway, you know, you've always been a proponent of understand this, that it's not easy to be a defensive coordinator at Albany. Because if you play transition, you're in likelihood going to give up a couple, you know, because of the transition and the push mentality.
Mm-hmm.
I think another element that goes into the, you and I talked briefly before, I mean, I get these coaches, I want to be like Syracuse, I want to play up and down. You're going like, I don't think you understand, okay? Yeah, I mean, they do a lot of transition, they get it up and down, it's a mentality, you know, but don't think that they're not getting right-hand, left-hand touches, a couple hundred of practice, you know, and working on the fundamentals.
Right.
I mean, you know, Donowski's gone back to starting his practices with two guys standing 10 yards apart. They're basically doing wall ball.
Oh, boy.
You know, yeah, I
go that far, but
well, yeah, I,
you
yeah.
know, listen, we're doing so much though, like I said, in our shooting drills, our passing drills
right.
there early on, and you know, we do an up and down like a we call it a vision drill, which three lines going up and down or alleys where we have two guys back and forth up and down, getting our touches at the beginning of practice that way. You know, we switch those drills up too. But again, getting those early touches in practice. But then, again, the two ball breakout, the one ball breakouts. I mean, everybody's getting, you know, we're getting plenty of touches. You know.
Well, and yeah, the point I wanted to make is that the, you know, what you think of as a, I hate the term. You know, I don't want to use it. Not a run and gun team, but a team that pushes the tempo consistently. Those are ground ball teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, I was when I was at Auburn, I had these two big attackmen I recruited. I thought they were a lot better than they were. Both guys, you know, could thread the needle. One righty, one lefty, both 220 pounds. I mean, they were the most amazing low guys on a 3-3 you can imagine. But neither one of them could carry a suitcase 5 feet without having to take it away, you know. And, you know, both guys came up to me and wanted to know, you know, after practice, they wanted to know, you know, what do they need to do for more playing time. And, you know, I told them they were weaned on ground balls. I mean, my gosh, you know, they're big, they're huge. And every time you get a ground ball on the attack side, I mean, if you're one of my teams or whether you're, or if you're Albany, you know, if we pick up a ground ball on the offensive side in a scramble scenario, we ought to score 6 or 7 times out of 10, you know.
You would hope.
And, well, yeah, more at Albany. I was being nice to myself. You know, and we had a competition. You know, I told them I could start one of them. And whoever had the most ground balls in the game before would start this game. Next thing you know, they're getting 4 ground balls, you know. yeah, at the end of the day.
You got to work for them. Those are effort plays, you know. Those are effort.
Yeah. Hey, Coach, we're coming up on it, man. You got so many places that you're out there, and all these are and will be consistently published on my site under all the stuff that I the podcast that I do with you. We got Top Dog Lacrosse doing the educational day camps, more of a fundamental camp there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you know, I love this Dane for a Day, the showcase stuff. Like I said, we're seeing. Just from more, not the coaches I interview, but the emails that I get and coaches that call me. You know, Alice comes down here at 11:30 at night. What are you doing? Are you coming to bed? Because I go to bed at 9:30. I'm really old, man. And, well, you know, they close the doors at the home at like 7.
Right.
So by the time you come in and eat your porridge, you know, and sneak 2 hits out of your Jim Beam bottle, it's time to go to bed. But the Dane for a Day stuff, will that be on the Albany Lacrosse website?
Yes, and the Top Dog Lacrosse one too.
And the Top Dog Lacrosse site. Mm-hmm. All right, well, I'll get all that stuff.
There's a link on our Albany site too, our Top Dog.
Oh, I'm gonna have to find that. I didn't see it.
I think so, right, Liam? We have topdoglax.net is where we are.
Hey, man. Again, an hour has gone by, and I want to be respectful of your time.
I appreciate you having me on again, man. Hopefully, we'll go before 4 years is next time, eh?
Hey, I, what are you, talking like a Canadian now?
always.
Yeah, always. I was going to say always, man, always. What I didn't tell you is I'm married to a chick that watches 70 Penguins hockey games a year, a girl from Pittsburgh.
Oh, geez. I'm a Ranger fan. I'm sorry. Sorry to hear that.
Well, I'm sorry to hear you're a Ranger fan. Not as sorry as I would be if you were a Capitals fan or a Flyers fan.
Yeah.
You know? But, yeah, we're big hockey guys here. And love it. Got into a long dialogue with Huntley over that a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Big hockey guy.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Coach, I got 5 pages of notes here. I got 4 or 5 drills. I'll probably write up at least 1 or 2 of these from my site and get another one on the Lax Power site. You're just do a great, great, great job, and you have more of an influence on guys that want to be transition coaches, you know, like me, than you might even realize. And,
I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
You know, the whole thing about the website is, you know, none of it is my stuff. It all comes from great stuff like you. I'm just kind of a conduit, you know, that puts it out there. So,
sure.
You know, guys can access all this stuff for free.
It's awesome.
Anyway,
I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Stay on the line with me here 1 second.
Yep.
This is Lax. Here comes the radio voice again. You might want to move the phone away from your ear. This is Lax Coach Mike, LaxCoachMike.com. You got an unbelievable responsibility influencing the lives of these young people. Take it very, very seriously. Until next time, God bless everybody.
Hey, premium guys, just want to say I love you. I'm humbled by you and so appreciative of all that you have done for me.